Chapter 19. It was harsh. ... said Lady Will to himself, as he looked after the retreating carriage. I was a fool, but it was harsh. Yet what man on earth likes a woman to show too great a readiness at first? She is right. She would be nothing without repulse. ... and he moved away in an opposite direction. What man was that? ... said Piketty, as they drove along. Oh, a mere Mr. Ladywell. A painter of good family, to whom I have been sitting for what he calls an idealization. He is a dreadful simpleton. ... why did you choose him? ... I did not. He chose me. But his silliness of behavior is a hopeful sign for the picture. I have seldom known a man cunning with his brush who was not simple with his tongue, or, indeed, any skill in particular that was not allied to general stupidity. ... your own skill is not like that, is it, Berta? ... in men and men. I don't mean in women. How childish you are. ... the slight depression at finding that Christopher was not present, which had followed Ethelberta's public triumph that evening, was covered over, if not removed, by Lady Will's declaration, and she reached home serene in spirit. That as he had not the slightest notion of accepting the impulsive painter made little difference, a lover's arguments being apt to affect a lady's mood as much by measure as by weight. A useless declaration like a rare china teacup with a hole in it has its ornamental value in enlarging a collection. No sooner had they entered the house than Mr. Julian's card was discovered, and Joey informed them that he had come particularly to speak with Ethelberta, quite forgetting that it was her evening for tale-telling. This was real delight, for between her excitements Ethelberta had been seriously sick-hearted at the horrible possibility of his never calling again. But alas! For Christopher! There being nothing like a dead silence for getting one's offhand sweetheart into a corner, there is nothing like prematurely ending it for getting into that corner oneself. Now won't I punish him for daring to stay away so long? ... she exclaimed, as soon as she got upstairs. It is as bad to show constancy in your manners as fickleness in your heart at such a time as this. ... but I thought honesty was the best policy? ... said Piketty. So it is, for the man's purpose. But don't you go believing in sayings, Piketty. They are all made by men, for their own advantages. Women who use public proverbs as a guide through events are those who have not ingenuity enough to make private ones as each event occurs. ... she sat down and rapidly wrote a line to Mr. Julian. Exonbury Crescent. I return from Mayfair Hall to find you have called. You will, I know, be good enough to forgive my saying what seems an unfriendly thing when I assure you that the circumstances of my peculiar situation make it desirable, if not necessary. It is that I beg you not to give me the pleasure of a visit from you for some little time, for unhappily the frequency of your kind calls has been noticed, and I am now in fear that we may be talked about invidiously to the injury of us both. The town, or a section of it, has turned its bullseye upon me with a brightness which I did not in the least anticipate. And you will, I am sure, perceive how indispensable it is that I should be circumspect. Yours sincerely, E. Peterwin. ... 21. A street nay's rooms, Christopher's rooms. As soon as Ethelberta had driven off from the hall, Lady Will turned back again, and, passing the front entrance, overtook his acquaintance Mr. Ney, who had been one of the last to emerge. The two were going in the same direction, and they walked a short distance together. Has anything serious happened? ... said Ney, noticing an abstraction in his companion. You don't seem in your usual mood tonight. ... oh, it is only that affair between us, ... said Lady Will. Affair? between you and whom? Apostrophe, her and myself, of course. It will be in every fellow's mouth now, I suppose. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but not anything between yourself and Mrs. Peterwin? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a mere nothing. But surely you started, nay, when you suspected it just this moment. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, you merely fancied that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, did she not speak well tonight? You were in the room, I believe? Apostrophe, yes, I just turned in for half an hour. It seems that everybody does, so I thought I must. But I had no idea that you were feeble that way. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is very kind of you, nay, upon my word it is very kind. And of course I appreciate the delicacy with which apostrophe, what's kind? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I mean your well-intentioned plan for making me believe that nothing is known of this. But stories will of course get wind, and if our attachment has made more noise in the world than I intended it should, and causes any public interest, why ha ha, it must. There is some little romance in it perhaps, and people will talk of matters of that sort between individuals of any repute little as that is with one of the pair. Apostrophe, apostrophe, of course they will, of course. You are a rising man, remember, whom someday the world will delight to honor. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thank you for that, nay, thank you sincerely. Apostrophe, not at all. It is merely justice to say it, and one must be generous to deserve thanks. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ha ha. That's very nicely put, and undeserved I am sure. And yet I need a word of that sort sometimes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, genius is proverbially modest. Apostrophe, apostrophe, pray don't, nay I don't deserve it, indeed. Of course it is well meant in you to recognize any slight powers, but I don't deserve it. Certainly, my self-assurance was never too great. 'Tis the misfortune of all children of art that they should be so dependent upon any scraps of praise they can pick up to help them along. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and when that child gets so deep in love that you can only see the whites of his eyes, apostrophe, ah now, nay don't, I say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but why did apostrophe, why did I love her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, why did you love her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, if I could only turn self-vivisector and watch the operation of my heart, I should know. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear fellow, you must be very bad indeed to talk like that. A poet himself couldn't be cleaner gone. Apostrophe, apostrophe, now, don't chaff, nay, do anything, but don't chaff. You know that I am the easiest man in the world for taking it at most times. But I can't stand it now, I don't feel up to it. A glimpse of paradise, and then perdition. What would you do, nay? Apostrophe, s he has refused you, then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well not positively refused me, but it is so near it, that a dull man couldn't tell the difference. I hardly can myself. Apostrophe, how do you really stand with her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said nay, with an anxiety ill-concealed. Off and on neither one thing nor the other. I was determined to make an effort the last time she sat to me, and so I met her quite coolly, and spoke only of technicalities with a forced smile, you know that way of mine for drawing people out, eh, nay? Apostrophe, apostrophe, quite, quite. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a forced smile, as much as to say, I am obliged to entertain you, but as a mere model for art purposes. But the deuce a bit did she care. And then I frequently looked to see what time it was, as the end of the sitting drew near, rather a rude thing to do, as a rule. Apostrophe, apostrophe, of course. But that was your finesse. Ha ha! Capital. Yet why not struggle against such slavery? It is regularly pulling you down. What's a woman's beauty, after all? Apostrophe, well you may say so. A thing easier to feel than define, apostrophe murmured Lady Well. But it's no use, nay I can't help it, as long as she repulses me so exquisitely. If she would only care for me a little, I might get to trouble less about her. ... and love her no more than one ordinarily does a girl by the time one gets irrevocably engaged to her. But I suppose she keeps you back so thoroughly that you carry on the old adoration with as much vigor as if it were a new fancy every time? ... Partly yes, and partly no. It's very true, and it's not true. ... 'Tis to be hoped she won't hate you outright, for then you would absolutely die of idolizing her. ... Don't, nay. Still there's some truth in it, such as the perversity of our hearts. Fancy marrying such a woman. ... We should feel as eternally united to her after years and years of marriage, as to a dear new angel met at last night's dance. ... Exactly just what I should have said. But did I hear you say we, nay? You didn't say he should feel? Say he? Yes, of course, putting myself in your place just in the way of speaking, you know. ... Of course, of course. But one is such a fool at these times that one seems to detect rivalry in every trumpery sound. Were you never a little touched? Not one. My heart is in the happy position of a country which has no history or debt. I suppose I should rejoice to hear it, said Ladywell. But the consciousness of a fellow sufferer being in just such another hole is such a relief always, and softens the sense of one's folly so very much. There's less Christianity in that sentiment than in your confessing to it, old fellow. I know the truth of it nevertheless, and that's why married men advise others to marry. Were all the world tied up, the pleasantly tied ones would be equivalent to those at present free. But what if your fellow sufferer is not only in another such a hole, but in the same one? No, nay, never. Don't trifle with a friend who that is, refused like yourself, as well as in love. Thanks, thanks. It suddenly occurred to me that we might be dead against one another as rivals, and a friendship of many long days be snapped like a reed. No, only a jest, said Nay, with a strangely accelerated speech. Lovemaking is an ornamental pursuit, that matter of fact fellows like me are quite unfit for. A man must have courted at least half a dozen women before he's a match for one, and since triumph lies so far ahead, I shall keep out of the contest altogether. Your life would be pleasanter if you were engaged. It is a nice thing, after all. It is. The worst of it would be that, when the time came for breaking it off, a fellow might get into an action for breach. Women are so fond of that sort of thing now, and I hate love affairs that don't end peaceably. But end it by peaceably marrying, my dear fellow. It would seem so singular. Besides, I have a horror of antiquity. And you see, as long as a man keeps single, he belongs in a measure to the rising generation, however old he may be. But as soon as he marries and has children, he belongs to the last generation, however young he may be. Old Jones' son is a deal younger than young Brown's father, though they are both the same age. At any rate, honest courtship cures a man of many evils he had no power to stem before. By substituting an incurable matrimony. Two persons must have a mind for that before it can happen. Said Ladywell, sorrowfully shaking his head. I think you'll find that, if one has a mind for it, it will be quite sufficient. But here we are at my rooms. Come in for half an hour? Not tonight, thanks. They parted, and Ney went in. When he got upstairs he murmured in his deepest chest note, "Oh, lords, that I should come to this. But I shall never be such a fool as to marry her." What a flat that poor young devil was not to discover that we were tarred with the same brush. Oh, the deuce, the deuce. He continued, walking about the room, as if passionately stamping, but not quite doing it, because another man had rooms below. Nate drew from his pocketbook an envelope embossed with the name of a fashionable photographer, and out of this pulled a portrait of the lady who had, in fact, enslaved his secret self equally with his frank young friend the painter. After contemplating it a while with a face of cynical adoration, he murmured, shaking his head, "Ah, my lady, if you only knew this, I should be snapped up like a snail. Not a minute's peace for me till I had married you. I wonder if I shall. I wonder." Apostrophe, Ney was a man of 35, Lady Wells senior by 10 years, and, being of a phlegmatic temperament, he had glided thus far through the period of eligibility with impunity. He knew as well as any man how far he could go with a woman, and yet keep clear of. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.